Derek Shelton was fired last week. Bud Black was fired over the weekend. The question is now, who's next? Yes, welcome into another episode of First Pitch, your daily source of baseball talk here on the Inside Baseball Network. I'm your host, Troy Brock. You can follow me on Twitter at Troy B Baseball. He's Drew Crabtree. You can follow him on the Twitter machine at Drew Crabtree 12. And we're going to get to the firing of Bud Black. We'll probably talk a little bit more about the firing of Derek Shelton. And we're going to try to figure out which manager or managers in Major League Baseball will be fired next. But first, if you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button, turn on the notification icon so you can be notified when another episode goes live. If you're listening on audio, leave us a five-star rating, share the show with your friends, send them to firstpitchpodcast.com so they can get their daily source of baseball talk. How you doing this Monday morning, Drew?
Oh, you know, not too bad. It's another beautiful day in tropical Toledo, Ohio.
Always a beautiful day in tropical Toledo, Ohio. And yes, it was a beautiful day yesterday. It was Mother's Day, so I hope that everyone had a fantastic weekend and a fantastic Mother's Day. Looks like 29 teams played baseball yesterday, and then one team just kind of showed up while the Houston Astros played baseball in Houston there. But we'll get to that more in a bit before, because we got a couple other games to talk about before that. The first being the Chicago Cubs at the New York Mets. Mets beat the Cubs 6-2. They are now 26-15. Cubs fall to 23-18. Ryan Stanek took the win. He's now 1-3 with a 3.45 ERA. Porter Hodge got the loss, 2-1, 5.71 ERA. Cardinals beat the Nationals 6-1. They swept the Nationals, matter of fact. They are now 22-19, three games over 500. Nationals fall to 17-24. Miles Michaelis got the win, and Mackenzie Gore took the loss, though he does lead Major League Baseball in strikeouts with 75. Braves lost to the Pirates 4-3. Pirates fall to four, or Pirates move to 14-27. My bad. Braves fall to 19-21. DeSantana got the win. Raisel Iglesias took the loss. Rangers beat the Tigers 6-1. Nathan Eovaldi got the win. He is now 4-2 with a 1.78 ERA. Reese Olson took the loss, 4-3 with a 3.38 ERA. Rangers move to 20-21. Tigers fall to 26-15. Brewers beat the Rays 4-2. Brewers moved to 20-21. Rays fall to 18-22. Tyler Alexander got the win. Drew Rasmussen took the loss. Miguel got the save. Reds at the Astros. Astros won 6-0. Astros moved to 20-19. Reds fall to 20-22. Rodel Blanco got the win 3-3 with a 4.04 ERA. And Chase Petty got the loss 0-2 with a 21.94 ERA. Drew, let's talk about that game. Tell me about that game and the rest of the weekend.
I don't want to. So Chase Petty is very obviously a talented pitcher. He's got the stuff. He has a fastball that will take the hide off of just about any glove. Other than the fact that C.B. Buckner is god-awful at his job, he walks far too many guys. He gets too far into deep counts. And I don't know, at least as of right now, if he has the mental capacity or maturity right now to be a major league pitcher. He's a fantastic pitcher, a thrower of the baseball. But he is very similar to me in the sense that he is uber competitive, and it feels like he has to win every at bat, and obviously he is losing more at bats than he is winning. Overall, it is becoming incredibly frustrating. It's been frustrating all year, but it is increasingly so that the Cincinnati Reds are either putting up double digits or not scoring at all. On Friday, they lost 3-0. Last night, they lost 6-0. On Saturday, they put up a 10 spot in the first inning and won 13-9. They still almost lost that game. I do not know what it is right now about this team that they struggle with belt-high fastballs right now. They just don't see them. I don't know what it is. Other than, you know, Ellie De La Cruz continues to strike out looking on pitches at his ankles because he's 6 foot eight or something stupid like that. And CB Buckner is like, Jose Altuve, Ellie De La Cruz, same guy, same strike zone. So I don't understand. But this is the seventh time. They were strut out the sixth and seventh time thus far this season in this series. Not great. The win on Friday for the Astros was the first over the Reds since the Obama administration. Obviously, sample size caveat, they'd only played nine times before, but the Reds swept them in all three-game series before that, and which is the weirdest thing in the world. I am super concerned and frustrated with how this lineup, when it gets cold, it is ice cold. It rolls over. You know, guys like Gavin Lux are hitting the ball. Santiago Espinal hitting the ball. Noelvi Marte before he got hurt. There are a few guys that are pulling their weight, but nobody is really elevating right now outside of when they get those massive innings and just pile on. So, you know, if this was a year ago, I'd say David Bell was next on the firing list. Honestly, I didn't expect him to fire him after last year. I expected him to be here one more year and then get promoted into some, front office gig. And this is, I would be saying to fire David Bell because David Bell was a bad manager. I don't know, man. They've got a 3-game set against the White Sox, which we'll get into up next. And that could help them get back over 500, but that series was incredibly deflating for about 26 innings. That first inning in the Saturday game was awesome. Every other inning was pretty disappointing.
Yeah, some fun Chase Petty facts here for you. He was drafted by the Minnesota Twins out of high school in the first round of 2021. He came over to Cincinnati in the Sonny Gray trade. He's only 22 years old. He has an arm sleeve of tattoos for those that are into that sort of thing. And in his two starts so far, he's struck out seven. He's got a very strong 11.81 strikeouts. But at the same time, he's walked eight and has a very, very not strong 13 and a half walks per nine. So it's a kind of a tale of two pitchers there from Chase Petty. He's been good at striking people out, but he's also been good at giving away free passes. So he's still got a lot of time to develop. Again, he's only 22 years old. And as Drew said, he's got the stuff.
The problem is, obviously, you send him to AAA. Those are AAA bats. He's going to continue to feast. Last time he was out there, he went six innings of no-hit baseball. Like, there's nothing for him in AAA. Like, you see that with all these pitchers. It's like, well, you maybe sit him down. Like, if you send him down, you're not doing anything for him or you. So, honestly, at this point, you're just probably going to have to roll with it. I mean, would you rather have a rough start from Chase Petty or a rough start from Nick Martinez? And I'm still taking Chase Petty every day because he's 22. He's got a lot of baseball yet to play. I think he can be a really good pitcher. He's just got to, buckle down a little bit. But again, 22 years old. This kid can just now start drinking legally. And I think he does have a future in baseball. He's just got to cut down on them walks. That's it.
Yeah. For sure. And he has had a lot of bad BABIP luck so far this year at the major league level. I did close out of that page, but I do know his BABIP against is over 500. So that'll regress because that's pretty high. And league average is like 290 something. Right. Red Sox beat the Royals 3-1. Lucas Giolito got the win 1-1 with a 4.96 ERA. Seth Lugo took the loss 3-4, 3.02 ERA. And Aroldis Chapman, former Reds legend, got his sixth save of the year. Red Sox move to 22-20. Royals fall to 24-18. And then our only game that went to extra innings yesterday, Giants and the Twins. Twins won 7-6 in Minnesota. They are now 21-20. Giants fall to 24-17. And I think the Twins swept that series. Duran got the win. He's 1-0 with a 0.93 ERA. And Walker got the loss 1-2 with a 6.43 ERA. White Sox hosted the Marlins in the pillow fight of the century. White Sox won 4-2 in this one on Sunday. They moved to 12-29. Marlins fall to 15-24. Vasil got the win. He's 2-1 with a 1.88 ERA. The overrated Sandy Alcantara went to 2-5 with an 8.10 ERA. Boozer got his first save of the year. Padres at the Rockies. The Rockies put one in the win column. Oh, my God. And then they fired their manager shortly thereafter. The Rockies moved to 9-3. I'm sorry, the Rockies won 9-3. They moved to 7-33. Padres fall to 25-14. Herman Marquez, of all people, got the win. He's 1-6. He lowered his ERA in the process to 8.27. And Nick Pivetta, again, of all people, took the loss. He's 5-2 now, and he is ERA raised 3.05. Yankees at the Athletics. The Yankees won 12-2. They are now 23-17. Athletics fall to 21-20. Aaron Judge extended his major league lead in home runs to 14, but he wouldn't have the lead for long. Yarbrough got the win. He's 1-0 with a 3.70 ERA. And Luis Severino took the L. He's 1-4 with a 4.70 ERA. Orioles got one in the win column in the return of Zach Eflin. Orioles won 7-3. They move to 15-24. Angels fall to 16-23. And I would like to point out right quick like that on Saturday, our favorite pitcher, Kohanowitz, got the win for the Angels. So go Kohanowitz. Eflin is now 3-1 with a 3.13 ERA. And Tyler Anderson falls to 2-1 with a 2.58 ERA. Again, that was Eflin's return from the injured list. Dodgers at the D-Bags. Dodgers won 8-1. They are now 27-14. D-Bags can't handle their business. They fall to 21-20. Tony Gonsolin got the win, 2-0, the 2.81 ERA. Zach Gallen continues to suck in a contract year. He is now 3-5 with a 4.59 ERA. Two games left. Blue Jays at the Mariners. Blue Jays won 9-1. I'm pretty sure they swept that series, and the Mariners entered with a 9-series win streak. But the Blue Jays won 9-1 to move to 20-20. Mariners fall to 22-17. Lauer got the win. He's 1-0 with a 2 ERA. And Bryce Miller took the loss 2-4 with a 5.22 ERA. And finally, Sunday Night Baseball on Mother's Day. Philadelphia Phillies at the Cleveland Guardians. Phillies won 3-0 to take the series. They moved to 24-16. Guardians fall to 23-17. Zach Wheeler got the win, 4-1 with a 2.95 ERA. Luis L. Ortiz took the loss, 2-4 with a 4.78 ERA. And Jordan Romano got his third save of the year. That's questionable. And Kyle Schwarber tied Aaron Judge with the major league lead in home runs with 2 on Sunday Night Baseball, and they were not cheapies. Final thoughts on yesterday's ball games, Daru.
I want to look up at some point Raisel Iglesias' stats in save situations versus non-save situations, because when he comes into the game and the game is tied, you've lost. He did this in Cincinnati, and he obviously does this in Atlanta. Atlanta was down 3-0, scored, put up 3 in the top of the 8th, and then it was obviously 3-3 in the bottom of the 9th with Raisel Iglesias coming up, and the Pirates won it in a walk-off. So I don't know what it is with him. I've never understood. But if it's a non-save, if it's not a one-run game when he comes in, because he's come in with at least with the Reds when it was 2 runs, 3 runs, and he would give up a couple and make it a bit more interesting. I want to look up those stats at some point and really dive into that, because it's fascinating, honestly, that a closer can't pitch when the game is tied.
Yeah, so I went ahead and did that for you because that is an interesting thing, and I like pitching stats. Just this year, I'm only looking at this year, in save situations this year, 8 games, he has 6 saves in save situations, 8 innings pitched, a 3.38 ERA in save situations. In non-save situations, 7 innings, 7 games, 7.71 ERA in non-save situations. He has allowed 6 earned runs in non-save situations across 7 innings to only 3 earned runs in save situations across 8 innings.
Wild. Incredible. there's something. I mean, baseball is weird. Pitchers are weird. There's got to be something in his brain that just does not click. when it comes to coming in on non-save situations. And it's crazy because, like, Raisel Iglesias is an awesome pitcher when he's coming in a one-run game.
Yeah, and in 2023 and 2024, he was one of the best back-end relievers in baseball for the Braves. And so this year it's just not been the case. And as we've seen right there, freely and readily available, the stats show you should only bring him in save situations. So it's just it's crazy that managers have these things readily and freely available to them. And I'm so freaking glad it worked out this way, because this is the best segue of all time. And then they don't use these stats, and they should be fired for it. Because if you and I have access to these stats, they also have access to these stats. And, you know, two managers were fired over the last week, and Derek Shelton and the Pittsburgh Pirates, and then Bud Black for the Colorado Rockies. And Bud Black was in his ninth year as the Colorado Rockies manager. He was the fourth longest tenured manager in Major League Baseball. I knew he'd been there a while. I didn't realize it was that long, but God, he was bad, because they lost more than 100 games, more than they had won during his tenure. They were, at the time, they had just came off their seventh win of the year to move to 7-33. It's always nice to fire a manager after a win. Take notes, Philadelphia Phillies. But, you know, with the firings of Derek Shelton of the Pirates, and then, of course, Bud Black of the Colorado Rockies, the question now becomes, Drew, who's next?
David Bell. No, so, you know, I think that the easiest, you know, course is to look at all of the last place teams, because obviously the Pirates are a last place team. The Rockies are the last place of forever team. I'm looking at, like, Bud Black, and the best that they did was second? Yeah, second in the NL West in 2018. They made the playoffs in 2017 and 2018, lost in the wild card, lost in the divisional round, which is wild to me. It's one of those instances where you're like, wait, they made the playoffs? Yeah, they did. The Nationals won a World Series. It's just one of those weird things. They got swept by the freaking Cardinals. That just makes me mad. I would think that, you know, the easy answers are probably like the Angels or the Marlins or even the Braves if they end up missing the playoffs. I would give Snitker another try just because of the injuries and stuff like that. I am looking at Brandon Hyde in Baltimore. Now, I will say that the turnaround under Hyde in Baltimore has been impressive. His first season, 54-108. The COVID season, 25-35. Honestly, personally, I throw out the COVID season. 60 games is hardly anything. And I say that as if my team didn't make the playoffs and have the Cy Young winner. To which I say, that was a Mickey Mouse Cy Young. No, the Reds are not signing Trevor Bauer. Shut up, people. Anyway, 2021, 52-110. And then they got back into the winning ways in 2022, 83-79. Won 100 games in 2023, 101-61. Last year, 91-71. They won the division in 2023, lost in the ALDS. They got second last year, lost in the wild card. But you know, we've talked at length about this, about the Orioles' start this year. And they were, you know, it's one of those things where they're expected to be at the very least the playoff team. You know, obviously the Yankees have gone off to a great start because it's the Yankees. You know, no one is expecting the Yankees to be awful because, you know, what was it last year, 2 years ago, they went 82-80 and act like their lives were ending. So the Orioles, I think I would be surprised if there's another firing in season, or at least before, you know, September rolls around, just because, you know, the Pirates are just bad and the Rockies are, like, historically bad, but there isn't anybody else that's just like, you kind of, you feel bad for their fans because of how bad they are. because the Angels are just a poorly run organization. It is what it is. You understand that. But I think the Orioles are probably the most surprising bad team in baseball now. They are 14 and 23, I think, if Wikipedia is correct. 15 and 24. You're way behind. They're 15 and 24 at the bottom of the AL East right now. I think that the ownership is probably going to look at it and be like, you're squandering, as we've said, this young core. I don't know. I think it's going to be a hard decision because of how good 2023 and 2024 were for the Orioles. But I'm going to say Brandon Hyde for my selection. Now, I will say that there are probably going to be a couple of other surprises, like contenders who miss out on the playoffs. Like if the Padres decide to implode and miss the playoffs or something like that, I would probably fire a manager for that. But I'll go with Brandon Hyde. Who is your pick, Troy? I have no idea who this could be. So let me practice my surprised face.
You know, I did have to think long and hard about this, and I texted you yesterday as soon as the news about Bud Black came out. I texted you yesterday and I said, here's what we're talking about tomorrow. The topic is going to be who's next. And I had to think long and hard about who my choice was going to be. And, you know, after that 20 seconds of thinking long and hard, I came up with Philadelphia Phillies manager Rob Thompson. And yes, the Philadelphia Phillies are winning right now, and so there's not much to complain about in Philadelphia, but there are still mistakes being made in Philadelphia by Rob Thompson. And one of the biggest mistakes that is being made is that Rob Thompson continues to throw Aaron Nola out there on the mound, pitching to Rafael Marchand. And I wrote about this for Sports Illustrated the other day. It makes absolutely no sense why Aaron Nola is continuing to pitch to Rafael Marchand. And I'm going to pull it up real quick while I stall for time. And I should have had this pulled up a minute ago, but I did not know where this was going. But Aaron Nola to JT Realmuto, pitching to JT Realmuto, is a Cy Young contending pitcher this year. So he's pitched to Rafael Marchand and JT Realmuto each 4 times out of his 8 starts. 25 and a third innings for JT Realmuto, 20 and two-thirds innings for Rafael Marchand. For JT Realmuto, again, Cy Young level pitcher, who Aaron Nola is, 2.49 ERA in those 4 starts with JT Realmuto. You hear that, and those of you who know what his ERA is off the top of your head, like I do, because I'm an Aaron Nola mark, you understand that the Rafael Marchand ERA has got to be a lot higher. And it is. In the 4 starts with the Rafael Marchand, over 20 and two-thirds innings, 7.40 ERA with Rafael Marchand behind the plate.
Goodness.
Why Rafael Marchand continues to be run out there to catch for Aaron Nola, I have no clue. And that's one thing. Another thing on Dave Dombrowski, why Rafael Marchand is still on the big league club and Garrett Stubbs is not, is a completely another topic for a different story, for a different day. But still, these things are freely and readily available for any and everyone. I'm going to keep banging this dead horse. That's not the terminology, but I'm going to keep beating on this dead horse because it's just, it makes no sense to me why these things continue to happen time after time after time. It just makes absolutely zero sense. If I have access to them, they have access to them. So why, people? Why? It's just, and there's so many other things. Like the lineup construction is dumb. And this team, the Philadelphia Phillies, got off to a slow start because, one, the offense wasn't performing as you would expect it to, and two, a lot of that was because Rob Thompson doesn't know how to construct a lineup. And it all boils back to the fact, like in yesterday's ball game, Johan Rojas was starting over Brandon Marsh in center field against a right-handed batter. Johan Rojas is a righty, Brandon Marsh is a lefty. But the thing is, both of those guys should be in the lineup on a daily basis because Max Kepler and Nick Castellanos should be the platoon in right field. Max Kepler should get the lion's share of at-bats because he's a lefty and he feasts on righties. Nick Castellanos should be the weak side of the platoon because he is god-awful defensively and he does not hit righties as well as he does lefties, and he feasts on lefties, while Brandon Marsh and Johan Rojas are both gold glove level outfielders in left field for Marsh and in center field for Johan Rojas. It would improve the defense tremendously, and it's just it doesn't make any baseball sense. He doesn't have a feel for the game. He doesn't have any common sense. He doesn't have any knowledge of what's going on the field, and he just sits on his hands when he should be out there arguing with an umpire over something that happens. And so I will keep beating this dead horse because the Phillies would be a much better team than they are if literally anyone else was the manager. Literally anyone else could do a better job than Rob Thompson does with this team. And again, there's not much to complain about of late. I haven't watched much baseball of late because I've been busy with other things and or blacked out. And then B, the Phillies have been winning a lot. But again, there are still mistakes being made by the manager, and they have cost the Phillies ball games. The one game the Phillies lost to the Guardians this weekend came in Aaron Nola's start because Rafael Marchand was catching him behind the plate. And so it makes no sense whatsoever. The Phillies would have. I don't get it. I don't understand it. Nobody can make it make sense.
I think people like it. I mean, I definitely agree with the pitching battery thing. People underrate how important catchers are to pitchers. Because, yeah, the pitchers are throwing the ball. They're, you know, half the time they're calling their own pitches if they're a veteran. But we see this in Cincinnati all the time, or at least we did when Tyler Stevenson was the full-time catcher, is he doesn't catch back-to-backs in the sense that you don't go night, day. So, but I will say that the Reds have a good system where they have three catchers who are worth having on the field. I definitely understand where you're coming from in terms of your frustration, because even though I'm still, you know, stumping for Tito and everything like that, there's a lot of things about the Reds that are bugging me, especially at the plate. Chris Valleca, the hitting coach that Tito brought over from his time in Cleveland, legitimately said they need to bunt more, and that just makes me want to do a backflip off my apartment. You have guys that can hit 25, 30 home runs up and down this lineup, and Ellie De La Cruz. No, do not bunt. Why bunt? You bunt all the time. No. TJ Friedel can bunt for hits. Ellie could bunt. I'm not making Ellie De La Cruz bunt the freaking ball. I don't understand. But, I definitely agree with you, especially, you know, with the whole Brandon Hyde situation. If the Phillies were to falter and miss the playoffs or get booted in the wild card round, I'd be right there with you in the sense that this is a World Series contending roster. This should be a team that is in the ALCS at the very least, contending with the Mets and the NL West and the freaking Cubs and the Cardinals, who are a game back from the Cubs right now. Everything is broken. The world is on fire. I love baseball. I'm with you. I would probably, you know, because they are contending, I think that's definitely a this offseason move and discussion for the Phillies, because you know, we keep harping, don't sleep on the Braves, don't sleep on the Nationals, even though the Nationals have lost five in a row. Don't sleep on them, because they're going to catch you. And there's only so many wild card spots to go around. And the NL West is also looking like it's going to have three or even four teams in contention for the wild cards. So, Rob Thompson, I don't think he's next, but I think he's definitely going to be a good discussion this winter, I guess.
Yeah, and there's a lot of other managers who could fall under this category of who's next. I think that a lot of Braves fans want to see Brian Snitker gone, but I think that he will not be, because there's a lot of rumor and speculation abounding that he's going to retire after this year. So there's really no reason to fire him if he's going to retire anyway. And then I
give him a little bit of leeway just for the simple fact that he's still missing his MVP candidate and Ronald Acuna Jr. and Spencer Strider, and all the, like, your two best players are currently on the shelf. So I'll give him a little bit of leeway. Now, if both of those guys come back and they still suck, or they still hover around 500 or worse, then yeah, we can really look at Snitker. But personally, I'm not thinking about him just yet.
Yeah, no, for sure. And you know, for me personally, aside from the manager discussion, Spencer Strider is one injury away from being on that list with Byron Buxton and Mike Trout for me. So he's getting close. Ronald Acuna is already on it. So yeah, he's getting close. But yeah, let us know down in the comments, who do you think is the next manager to be canned and get fired and lose their job and have the seat taken out from under them, be let go, their corporation go a different way? Who do you think it's going to be? Drew and I, let our feelings be known. Let yours be known down in the comments below. But we've got some baseball games to talk about, because it is Monday and there's baseball every single day of the year during the baseball season, except on the All-Star break. And we have 11 such games today. Full slate, all night games. Not a full slate, mostly full slate. 6:10 p.m. is the first. 6:10 p.m. Eastern. Brewers at the Guardians. Freddie Peralta at Ben Lively. Brewers look to move to 21-21. Guardians look to move to 24-17. 30 minutes later, 6:40 p.m. Eastern, Red Sox at the Tigers. Good series there in Detroit. Tanner Houck at Jackson Job. Red Sox look to move to 23-20. Tigers look to move to 27-15. 5 minutes later, 6:45 p.m. Eastern, Cardinals at the Phillies. Matthew Liberatore on the mound for the Cardinals. Christopher Sanchez on the mound for the Phillies. Cardinals look to move to 23-19. Phillies look to move to 25-16. 25 minutes later, 7:10 p.m. Eastern, Pirates at the Mets. It is Paul Skenes Day, ladies and gentlemen, and David Peterson on the mound for the Mets. Pirates look to move to 15-27. Mets look to move to 27-15. 5 minutes later, 7:15 p.m. Eastern, battle in the National League East. Washington Nationals at Atlanta Braves. Jake Swerve and Irvin versus Grant Holmes. Nationals look to move to 18-24. Braves look to move to 20-21. 25 minutes later, 7:40 p.m. Eastern, Marlins at the Cubs. Cal Quantrill at Colin Ray. Marlins look to move to 16-24. Cubs look to move to 24-18. Another 25 minutes later, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, Rockies at the Rangers. Chase Dolander at Tyler Molly. Rockies look to move to 8-33. Rangers look to move to 21-21. 5 minutes later, 8:10 p.m. Eastern, Royals at the Astros. Michael Waka 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 at Gusto. Royals look to move to 25-18. Astros look to move to 21-19. An hour and a half later, 9:40 p.m. Eastern, Angels at the Padres. You say Kikuchi, I say another word, against Michael King. Angels look to move to 17-23. Padres look to move to 26-14. Also at 9:40 p.m. Eastern, Yankees at the Mariners. Yankees throwing TBD. I think it's going to be Max Fried. Just looking at the game started by the league leaders, he only has 8. The rest of them have 9. I think it's going to be Max Fried. I could be wrong. Against Hancock, Yankees look to move to 24-17. Excuse me. Mariners look to move to 23-17. 5 minutes later, the nightcap. D-bags at the Giants. Merrill Kelly and Justin Verlander. D-bags look to move to 22-20. Giants look to move to 25-17. Final thoughts on today's slate of games. Darut.
Oh, goodness. It's beating up on the already downtrodden. Tyler Mahle, off to a fantastic start this season. And he's got the Rockies. The Rockies are scoring just over 3 runs per game, and that is a little bit thrown off because they have 2 double-digit performances. They have scored 18 runs over the last 3 games, and one of them was a shutout, a 21-0 shutout, mind you. We thought that there was a lot of scoring in that Reds-Astros game on Saturday. The Padres scored 3 touchdowns on them. I'm very interested to see if he's going to be able to keep this going against a weaker lineup. I'm loving what I'm seeing from Tyler Mahle. He's, you know, 3-1, 1.148 ERA. Rangers keep on rolling. They're going to get back over 500 and get back into that relatively competitive AL West, I should say.
Yeah, it's Tyler Mahle's been great this year, and the Rockies have not. You know, there's been a lot of people upset in Colorado Rockies Nation, and to that I say,
at the end of the day, if you don't like it, play better.
And that's all there is to it. If you don't like it, play better. You know, don't be 7-33 if you don't like it. Easy enough. But yeah, it's going to be a great day. It is always a great day when there is baseball, and it is always a great day here at First Pitch. So if you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button, turn on the notification icon so you can be notified when another episode goes live. If you're listening on audio, leave us a 5-star rating, share the show with your friends, send them to firstpitchpodcast.com so they can get their daily source of baseball talk. And until the next time, this has been First Pitch.